I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app. On the radio from 1 until 4, you know the rest, right? You go to the iHeart app after 4 o'clock, and it's the John and Ken On Demand podcast. And there we've had quite a show, first 2 hours so far. There's a lot you missed if you're just joining us now. We had an interview with Rick Caruso. We had great reports from Steve Gregory in Maui and Blake Trolley up in at Nordstrom's at the Topanga Shopping Mall. So all that stuff is on there, and you can listen to it after 4 o'clock. We continue now. We're going to talk with Jim Lacy. Jim, some years ago, wrote the book Taxifornia. It was an Amazon bestseller. And he's with the United States Justice Foundation. He works with that organization, and they have a poll out because this crime situation that everyone's upset with, and it runs from, you know, shoplifting at your local 7-Eleven all the way up to murders and the death penalty being in a state of a moratorium, I think Newsom called it. There's a moratorium on the death penalty, so nobody's getting executed. Well, it turns out that Newsom and the rest of the legislature are way out of touch with the voters on this, because it turns out that a majority of Californians support the death penalty still. I mean, every time it comes up for a vote, Californians want the death penalty, and it turns out 53% of registered voters support the death penalty, only 21% against. And when you look at general election voters, it's 56-21. So it's a big, big majority for the death penalty, and yet it doesn't exist under Gavin Newsom. So let's, and there's other interesting things and questions in this poll as well. Let's get Jim Lacy on with the United States Justice Foundation. Jim, how are you?
I'm great, John, and you're having a great show. I loved listening to your interview with Caruso, but you're absolutely right about this poll. And, you know, we have a situation where you've got the LA Times and the UC Berkeley poll that they've got and other liberal institutions that are pretty much in cahoots in trying to manage and distort public opinion to support their progressive narrative that things like no cash bail, reducing prison populations, closing the prison in Susanville and closing the prison in Norco, and not enforcing the special circumstances involved with murder, that all of that stuff is good, that people are okay with it, and that Newsom could stand on principle, whatever that principle is, that there's a California death penalty law. It's been in our Constitution for over 100 years. The state has voted on it. You're absolutely right. Three times, twice we voted in favor of the death penalty, 2012 and 2016 in the last 11 years. And what do we have? We have 700 people on death row in California in limbo. They're not having their sentences taken into consideration. They're not being executed. We haven't had an execution in this state for 17 years, even though we have the law. And why? It's because Gavin Newsom, and before him Jerry Brown, refused to enforce the law. And who are they trying to kid? Crime is on the rise. We know the statistics. You've been talking about it. You've been reporting it. Mr. Caruso just earlier talked about the statistics about crime going up 50%, but would you know it from the LA Times? Because the LA Times, although they will report crimes, they won't report public attitudes with their poll. As a matter of fact, the most recent polling that the LA Times has done on Californians' attitudes on the death penalty is 2 years old, and it's based on a two-question, non-probative poll that basically says, oh, Californians, the headline, John, is Californians' public opinion against the death penalty is growing, and they support Newsom's moratorium. So we can talk about this poll, but I just wanted to say the U.S. Justice Foundation that I manage went out and we did this poll. We spent $30,000 on it with a good outfit called Signal, and I asked them to mimic the LA Times UC Berkeley methodology of polling with 1,000 voters, and the results that come back are completely contrary to the standing polling that the LA Times has done in 2019 and 2021, and they don't want to report that 73% of Californians, for example, feel that there's more crime than there has been in the last 2 years, that it's gone up. 60% of Californians feel that they have been that they are on the verge of being touched by crime. And right now, you're absolutely right. When you look at likely voters, 56% of Californians are in favor of the death penalty that's not being enforced.
There is such a huge disconnect between how the public feels and what the legislature, Newsom, and the media tries to project. A huge disconnect. I feel like I'm living in an alternate universe because I live on the west side of L.A. that is not like a conservative bastion. And everybody I know is talking like I do. Everybody sees the same thing about the crime. They have the same fears. And yet, when you look at I've given up on the Times. I mean, it's just a left-wing propaganda sheet at this point. But you know, everybody in government, in the legislature, and the governor, they're just completely out to lunch. They're completely out of sync with normal people.
And what we need to do is we have to have our institutions recognize what's going on. It's like the emperor has no clothes. Now, in this polling that we did, 1 in 5 voters in the state, and even more of that in L.A. County, say they've been a victim of crime in the past year. You know, that's one of their loved ones. That's 1 in 5 people. I mean, that's a hell of a lot of people to be touched by that. And, you know, when we look at the issues that are out there, yes, homelessness, our poll validated that homelessness is still the biggest issue in the state at 39%. Inflation in the economy is at 35%. Crime and public safety is at 25%. But if you look at people that are concerned about what's really affecting them, inflation in the economy and crime themselves, it's over 60% of the state, you know.
Well, when are they going to vote differently? This is what I was talking about with Rick. So when do people take all this angst and vote differently?
Okay, right. So you look at the state, it's only 24% Republican statewide, 46.5% Democrat, 20% independent, right? But if you go and you ask somebody about the death penalty and then you give them circumstances where it may or may not be justified, like, for example, the Boston bomber. We asked, you know, well, what's your position on the death penalty? And, you know, we got, you know, 53, 56%. But when you really put it before them and you say, what about this guy, Tsarnaev, the Boston bomber? Do you think that the death penalty would have been justified in his conviction? It goes up to 75%.
Yeah.
Now, look, if you've only got 24% Republicans in the state and you've got 75% of the people saying that there's a justification for terrorist acts.
Yeah.
And you have a guy who's our governor who won't even look at that. He just says across the board, no moratorium. If there's a terrorist killing in here and a person is found guilty, he won't he won't enforce it.
Yeah. Well, let me just say, let me one more thing, and because we're running up against the clock here. Not only do I see a huge disconnect between the government and the media and what the average person is feeling, I see a huge disconnect between people's feelings and their voting patterns.
Right.
They're not voting the way they seem to feel on these issues, just going by your poll here.
Yeah, and I think it's a failure of our institutions to provide voters with information that makes that connection. You know, it's if you have this circumstance where you have rising crime, if you have this circumstance where you have these terrible murders and they don't have consequences, it's only logical that it's a result of policy failures. And the policy failures are policy failures of all of the Democrats that control every constitutional office in this state, and almost all of the, with the exception of Mike Garcia, almost all of the partisan offices in L.A. County.
Got to run, Jim. Thank you very much for coming on with us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Jim Lacy, and he's with the United States Justice Foundation. I've got more on this poll regarding a whole list of issues where something is out of whack between the way people vote and the way they feel and the way they're represented. Get into it next.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Ken is away today. And we're on till 4 o'clock. After 4 o'clock, the iHeart app for John and Ken on Demand, the podcast. All right, we just talked with Jim Lacy with the United States Justice Foundation. And Jim was going through a poll that his organization did with Signal. And as I said at the end of the last segment, two disconnects here, okay? Most people, or majority of people, want the death penalty. When you talk to general election voters, 56% want the death penalty for convicted murderers, only 21% against. When it comes to the death penalty moratorium, you have most people disagreeing with Newsom's moratorium by a 42-34 margin. And then there's people who are either neutral or, you know, don't care. When it comes to taxes, I found this fascinating. 78% of registered voters, 78% say taxes are too high and 50% way too high. You got that? There's only 3% of California voters who think taxes are low. There's only 14% that say, they're about right. 50% say way too high. 3/4 say high or way too high. That's amazing. The direction of crime. 73% of registered voters say crime has increased. 16% decreased. 61% of voters say it's less safe out there. Only 28% more safe. 22% say they or a loved one has been a victim of a crime. Well, I believe all these numbers. These numbers track with certainly my experience in life, people that I talk to, the reaction we get here on the show in various ways. Why are people voting for the people they do? I just don't understand it. Because if you strip away their stupid political affiliation, you know, take away that identifying marker, a lot of people would be voting for the same type of candidate and the same type of policies. Because most people think if you have a heinous murderer, you ought to give them the death penalty. Most people feel that way. Most people feel the taxes are way too high. Most people think the crime is increasing. They're scared of being a victim and that the crime is a major problem. Most people are feeling that way. Strip away that stupid R and D and just look at the quality of life. Nobody can say these policies are a success. What did I tell you last hour in San Francisco? San Francisco, they've evacuated the federal building. And the Department of Health and Human Services, which is one of the major departments in that building, told everybody, go home and stay home. work remotely indefinitely. We'll let you know. Because down below, to walk up to the front door of this federal building, you have to wade through dozens and hundreds of drug pushers and drug users who are ingesting drugs every way possible into every orifice possible. Well, nobody's for that. Nobody wants that. So what's with the district attorneys and the mayors and the council people and the legislators that everybody's been voting for, you know, for the past 10 years? It's the same people over and over again. I am just flummoxed because most of the conversation I'm having with people are along the lines of the conversations that are quantified in this poll, how people feel. I mean, seriously, there aren't many people who want open-air drug markets in a downtown city. Nobody wants to see these smash-and-grab mobs of 50 young guys trashing an entire store. Nobody wants to see this. Everybody's terrified and scared. And then all you have to do is just show up once a year, maybe twice a year, and just vote differently. Everybody who's currently in office is discredited. They brought you this mess. Like, why anybody would vote for Karen Bass again? Beats the hell out of me. She's as bad as Eric Garcetti. She's worse because she promised better. She's an exact extension of Garcetti, and we told you that last year. It was clear. She didn't have the stomach to fight this. She just doesn't want to. Because she's not doing it. You just judge people by their actions. Same thing with the San Francisco mayor. Talks once in a while, like she has a brain in her head, but for the most part, doesn't do anything to change San Francisco. You know, you got to send in a huge police force and get rid of the drug pushers and the drug users from in front of that federal building. In fact, since it's the federal building, what they ought to do is send in some kind of federal law enforcement to clear that area. I don't get it. Everybody just stands around, and all the voters let all these politicians and these law enforcement organizations stand around and do nothing. And so it's like everybody's stoned. Really, if you judge people by their actions, you would think everybody in the state is stoned. We're all just staring glassy-eyed and watching it happen. More coming up. John and Ken.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on the radio until 4 o'clock, and then after 4 o'clock, the iHeart app has the John and Ken On Demand podcast. Certainly today's a day, if you missed most of the show up till now, is a day you should listen to the podcast as soon as you can and play it all night. We had Rick Caruso on. We had Steve Gregory with a great long report from Maui describing the chaotic government response to all those people that got burned to death. Just one of the most incompetent reactions by government I have ever heard about in my life. And so Steve goes into detail on that. And we had Blake Trolley on right before Rick to discuss the Topanga Nordstroms that got smashed and grabbed and looted. So a lot of good stuff on there. And here I've got three stories on three presidents, the current one and the two previous. And two of them are weird. The Trump one, is going to get crazy because in Atlanta, the city is getting ready for the indictment of Trump by the county district attorney, Fannie Willis, who's going to be charging Trump with a variety of crimes connected to the 2020 election result that she says he tried to overturn illegally. She's been investigating it for 2.5 years. So this will be the fourth indictment coming. This is a state indictment. And so the streets around the courthouse are now sealed off with orange barricades. And there's media vans sitting there and idling because the grand jury was meeting today. Things are moving rapidly. And you could hear an announcement any minute of any day this week. They have stacks of bicycle racks arranged to keep crowds away. The security measures run blocks and blocks all the way to the Georgia State Capitol. The street nearest the entrance to the Capitol is sealed off. There's no tourists. Most staffers are working from home. No one was seen entering or leaving the city hall in the middle of a workday. It looks like they're hunkering down for war. I don't know what they were expecting. Is this an overreaction, or they got some intelligence that said when we indict Trump, it's going to be bad? The first three indictments didn't draw much of a crowd protesting. She has said she's going to announce charges in August, and it's already the middle of August. And she asked that judges not schedule trials or in-person hearings on certain days. So I don't know why they're expecting such a ruckus, because they haven't seen it the first three times, but they're acting like, January 6th is about to happen. Now, these other two presidential stories are just weird. And one of them is about Joe Biden. I don't know if you remember, there was a senator named Scott Brown from Massachusetts. He was a Republican. And when Ted Kennedy died, Scott Brown, as a Republican, unexpectedly won an election. And for a short time, a Republican was representing Massachusetts in the Senate. Eventually, he joined the Trump administration as ambassador to New Zealand and Samoa. And he got interviewed on a podcast called Burn Barrel. And you're going to hear him talk about how he had to get into it with Biden some years ago because Biden apparently got a little frisky with Scott Brown's wife. And you'll also hear Scott Brown talk about Biden's dementia. So roll this clip.
Biden has taken a hit in the polls, and especially in the last few months, this thing with his granddaughter really stuck. And also, I think people are irked out about all the hair sniffing and things. We went overseas, and he especially took a long inhale. And I think women are skeeved out by that stuff. And he's not a good guy. You know him. I mean,
listen, he's. I did know him. I spent quite a bit of time with him. I enjoyed his company, but that's not Joe Biden. We all know the signs. We all know people who have dementia and have the beginning of Alzheimer's, and he's got it. I mean, it's the walk, it's the way he's mumbling, his anger outbursts, and it's a shame that we can't do better, as I said, in this great country. But a lot of people don't want to run because of everything you're seeing now.
Yeah. Hey, I might be imagining this, but did you, when you were on the Herald Radio with us probably 7 years ago, when you got sworn in as senator, was he like hair sniffing Gail or handsy with Gail, or did I imagine?
Yeah. I told him I'd kick the shit up. I told him to stop.
Did you really go through it again, if you don't mind?
No. It's old news. It's old news. It is. Yes, he didn't act the way I thought he should, and we called him on it, and that's it.
His face, right there.
Oh yeah.
Really. Where's the hot mic for that one?
Yeah, I know.
So what he was groping around with Scott Brown's wife, and Brown said he had to threaten to kick the bleep out of Biden. That was during the swearing in ceremony? Third story is just weird. There is, I don't know if you heard this, there is somebody who's written a biography on Obama. His name is David Garrow. David Garrow is a Pulitzer Prize winning historian. He's written books on Martin Luther King, among others. And he did a biography on Obama. He is not a right-wing Republican, but he investigated Obama's girlfriends and contacted one named Alex McNear. This is a woman, Alex McNear. And in 1982, when Obama was 21, he was writing letters to Alex. She kept them and eventually turned them over to Emory University. Garrow got wind of what's in this letter, and part of it has always been publicly redacted. But Garrow, the author, had a friend named Harvey Clare, who went to Emory University, somehow had a contact, and was able to look at the letter. He wasn't allowed to photograph it or remove it, but Harvey Clare transcribed the paragraphs by hand and then sent them to David Garrow. And Garrow just gave an interview and talked about this in detail, and he read what it said in Obama's letter. I'm just going to read this the way it's printed. This is Obama talking to Alex McNear. In regard to homosexuality, I must say that I believe this is an attempt to remove oneself from the present, a refusal perhaps to perpetuate the endless farce of earthly life. This is Obama speaking. You see, I make love to men daily, but in the imagination. I make love to men daily, but in the imagination. My mind is androgynous to a great extent, and I hope to make it more so until I can think in terms of people, not women as opposed to men. But in returning to the body, I see that I have been made a man, and physically in life, I chose to accept that contingency. So he's aware that he's a man, but in his mind, he's androgynous, and he imagines making love to men every day. So says 21-year-old Obama in writing, according to his biographer. Oh, look, I have to take a break. John and Ken.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Well, Eric Adams, the mayor of New York, was on TV again, squawking about all the illegal immigrants that are now sleeping in the streets by the hundreds in New York City and complaining he's got no money to take care of them. He's got no place to put them. And he's yelping at the Biden administration. Doesn't mention, though, that, you know, he was a proud mayor of a sanctuary city all this time. And when you run a sanctuary city, people are going to take sanctuary. Now, on the other end of things is Ron DeSantis in Florida. I can't believe this. Well, we'll see. I just read this, and I just wonder how long this is going to survive. Florida officials have passed a law that if any driver is found transporting an illegal alien in their car, they could get 5 years in jail and a $5,000 fine. This is for you if you're the driver in Florida. And I don't think many people knew this existed until a civil rights group, a collection of civil rights groups, asked a judge to throw out the ruling. This is from CBS News. But the judge denied the request. It's part of a larger lawsuit and on a technicality. And the activists are saying, well, you know, you could have a child whose immigration situation is still working its way through the court system. Let's say the kid is transported to a doctor's appointment and suddenly whoever's driving the car could get 5 years in jail. So the ACLU is fighting this. I just never heard of that before. This has got to be the only state in the union. And if you're caught driving an illegal alien, you can go to jail for 5 years. Can you imagine? You know that whole mob in at the Tabanga shopping mall that burst into Nordstrom's? They're not going to get 5 minutes in jail. Conway's here.
Hey, now, I almost went to that mall with my wife and daughter. Instead, we went to Glendale because my daughter's getting back to school clothes. We were 2 seconds away from getting on the freeway and going that way, but there was too much traffic. We'd been right involved with that thing.
Deborah said she was going to go.
Yes!
Saturday.
I was
going to
go with Deborah.
And so you both missed out.
That's right, yeah. But I kicked myself in the ass. I'd like to have seen that action, you know? I don't condone it, but I'd like to be around it. You know what I mean?
You'd like to watch.
I'd like to watch.
Your guy likes to watch.
What do they call it?
Voyeur.
Voyeur.
Yes.
I'm a voyeur with the crime.
That tracks.
But at Glendale Galleria, I saw probably 10 different cops. Cops with the dog, with the canine were there. And cops were walking around everywhere. So I have a theory that they knew something was going to go on at a big mall. They just didn't know which one.
That's possible. Yeah. Because Caruso's Americana had gotten mobbed.
Right.
On Tuesday. So word was out. Because usually when these things start, there's a series of them. And it's the same guys.
Right. But the cops inside the mall at Glendale would have been doing their job, well, serving the public more, if they were in the parking lot, because everyone was fighting for a spot in the parking lot. Everybody was pissed off. Everybody. Honking and swearing and, you know, you got to get in the car and move, you know, that kind of thing. It was wild. Steve Gregory is coming on tonight. That guy's, we're going to talk about the Maui wildfire. I still can't get over that. I mean, it still bothers me to the core. Whenever I see those pictures, I go right into radical depression. Radical depression. And then we have a 50-year-old battle for a public beach in public beach access, I should say, in Malibu. We'll discuss that. And then we have back to school for a lot of kids here. Back to school.
Conway coming up.
That's right.
Crozier with the news.
Ding dong with you.
Live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Ding dong.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.